Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this. Chris Herndon, y'all. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Don't Talk to Me About Work by Lou Reed from, I'm looking up the year, I think it's 1982. Yes, 1982's The Blue Mask. Lou Reed in the 80s, underrated. I haven't seen an official report on Nikola Jokic's status tonight beyond the questionable, but I'm going to send it out to him. That should be your attitude today, Nikola. Don't talk to me about work.
We believe in the whole person and here on the Jeff Calkins Show, and we think you just got to make sure you're right. No, you don't come rushing back to this stuff. So
I don't have any, I wouldn't call it intel, but I did talk to some people who were at the game. I was at the game on Sunday. Yeah. I just talked to people who were there. I was like, what's going on with this? What do we think? And the sense I got is he's probably not going to play tonight either. I don't think he wasn't in town.
So is there any intel about what's going on with this?
Like, no one's listening to this but me and you, right?
That's right, yes.
What I heard is that, and this is not official, this is a rumor. What I heard is that his wife's having a baby, but she hadn't delivered yet. That's what I heard.
I see.
I think Eric said that on the broadcast.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yes, so yeah. That's
what I heard, but I heard it like third hand or whatever, so yeah.
Well, you can't rush a baby either.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't rush a baby. There's things, they're done when they're done.
Right.
You know? So, all right, well. I mean, obviously, he's the best player in the world. Is he the best player in the world?
I think he has reasserted that. If there was any doubt, he has cleared that up to start this season.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're a better team. How bad are they without Jokic?
So I put out some intel, some data on this morning because I was looking at it, some comparison of Grizzlies and Mavs sort of lineup stats. And the Mavs, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Let me bring this up so I have this right. So the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic this season are in the first percentile, and first is bad. 100th is good and zero is worst, right? The Nuggets without Jokic this season are in the first percentile of offense as a team. That's like as bad as you can get. And the 63rd percentile in defense. The defense is a little better without him slightly. And their point differential, like per 100 possessions, is -21.2 with him off the floor. By contrast, the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, without their best player this season, are a 55th percentile offense, sort of average, mediocre, middle of the pack offense without Ja Morant, 83rd on defense, +5.9. So the Grizzlies' floor without their best player has been much sturdier than the Nuggets without their best player. But here's what's interesting to me: what's the ceiling when these teams have their best player?
Right.
Now let me caveat, you know, statistics are a snapshot of the past, not a guarantee of the future. We're still doing a relatively small sample, uneven schedules, blah, 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 all of that. The Nuggets this year with Jokic and Jamal Murray, their guard front court, you know, fulcrum of their team, are 100th percentile in offense, just gangbusters. Only 21st on defense, +19.4, which is great.
Right.
The Grizzlies with John Jaren, 88 offense, 98 defense, +22.5.
Wow.
I really think this, and it may just never come together, but I think this Grizzlies team has a much higher ceiling than I thought it did before the season, if they can get it all together. I don't know if they will.
By the way, and they, even as with all the comings and goings, they're top 10 offense and defense?
They are. I think the schedule has something to do with that, right? You got to balance out, like, they've been without a lot of their players and have only had their three stars for one game. That's a one side of the scale. The other side of the scale, they've had a very easy schedule. And so it sort of balances out. But, yeah, I mean, they are, I think, seventh on offense and fifth on defense right now.
All right. So the piece that we were talking about yesterday, which went up, and I've tweeted it out, and folks can see it over at the Daily Memphian. But it had to do with rotations, and then you settled in to write about who's going to start at small forward. But I was interested in the conversation. First of all, did you ever have the conversation separate from this? Did you ever have the conversation with him about Edie coming off? Obviously, not relevant now because he's hurt, but coming off the bench.
What well, I didn't, was? But he other it had come up, and he had just talked about like you know, wanting to experiment with different lineups and combinations, and he said something about, you know, Edie needs to be able to both start and come off the bench. And to me, it's all fine. I had no problem with it, but I was just sort of interested in
him. All right, so at the beginning of your piece, though, there's some sort of philosophical questions about whether he is, whether all what we've seen is a product of the injuries and the changes, or whether this is an intentional. And the quote was, "We do want to lean into playing a deep rotation." That's clearly whoever's playing.
Right.
And what's that mean? 11, 10? What do you?
I think it means 11. I think this team, you could see, he has tended during his time here to, his default has been a 10-man rotation, just like Hubie Brown.
Right.
And there have been times, even more recently, when I think he's scaled down to 9. I think his default to start this season was 11. I think it wouldn't, if they can get full health, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that as a matter of sort of default, 11. But the question that is within the context of the 11, can you goose up the minutes of Ja Jarendez and goose up the touches and shots of Ja Jarendez even in the context of that rotation? To me, that's more the question. I don't think it's a big deal, you know, whether he's playing 9, 10, or 11. What matters to me is like the top end of that. Are you utilizing the top end of your roster to make sure you're winning games? That's what's important.
He did say he was open to 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Right? He said he was open to 9 or 10. Well, then the second thing that you addressed, and there were quite some discussion of this, is this question of chemistry, which is chemistry and cohesiveness and rhythm and all that, which is one of the things that Brevin was we were talking about on the, and he acknowledged, how do you,
he, you know, sometimes with Taylor Jenkins stuff, it's hard to
it is to
pick apart the answers and find your way through it. I asked him, I didn't intend for it to be a rhetorical question, but I did sort of set up this frame of where I said, you know, if you're using your depth, you know, if you're using your depth means more frequent substitutions, like, what are you gaining? You know, is there a tension between the freshness, keeping players fresh, versus not building chemistry because of the changes, right? Is there a tension in that? And do you think that tension, if so, does that tension work itself out over time when you get more used to it? And that I probably should have left out the last part, because that's a little bit of a give him an answer just a bit back, but He basically said, you know, we don't want to have to make that choice. So our hope is that if we can get healthy and we get used to doing this. But he didn't say we're not going to do this because we want the chemistry of keeping guys longer. I think he likes the idea of the quicker substitutions, the deeper a rotation at a fast pace to be fresh for 48 minutes. I think that's what they want to do. The question is, does that work or not? And people have pushed back and wondered about it, and I've wondered about it too. Like, the counterexample is Golden State. Like, it's working for them. This is what they're doing, you know, and it's working for them. And it's working for the Grizzlies to a degree. They're 8-6 with, you know, whatever. But
it's also, it to some extent, all of this is a luxury at this point anyway, because there's so much juggling that has had to be done.
Right.
Like, the other thing that you brought up in the piece was, or he brought up, was sort of the laboratory. Like, is the season a laboratory, and is he using this as a laboratory? Well, at some point, particularly for this team this year, given where they are in the window, you don't want, everything shouldn't be a laboratory, right?
Well, I would say that to some degree, that's just what the regular season is. I think some teams arrive fully formed, and like, they're just like Cleveland, like, boom, right? And some teams, like, you know, you experiment over the course of the season, and some things work and some things don't, and you make some trades, and like, you're sort of trying to form your team to get it to the right spot. And like, Dallas last season didn't become the team were going to become until like late in the
season.
Their
laboratory was, we don't have the right chemicals in here. Let's a trade deadline, get some more.
And so I think to a degree, that is the nature of the regular season. It's a different degree for different teams. I think the shortened preseason and the less like emphasis teams put on actually playing their players in the preseason, you know, has shifted some of this stuff that would normally take place in training camp and preseason on into the regular season. But I think for the Grizzlies, the injury stuff has shifted it even, you know. Jaren didn't play, like, got injured the first day of training camp, right? Right. Vince Williams didn't play at all in training camp or preseason. And, you know, Ja Morant had, like, an ankle thing, like, in game one. And right. you had a lot of that stuff going on, too.
And then you do get into this question of who's going to be starting at small forward. And I first wanted to start.
Which is not the highest stakes question, but it is a decision. It's a decision right. you make.
Yes,
you
a decision know? You make. And yeah. And I want to start with who you discounted at the front end. Well, Gigi, obviously, because he's hurt. Right. Conchar, because he's Conchar.
Yep. No offense.
No offense intended. Then the others are Kennard, Laravia, and Santi.
Right.
Is it, by the way, is this turning out to be another little bit of a disappointment for Santi?
The shooting just has, you keep waiting. When you watch him play, you assume like he's like a high 30s three-point shooter.
Right.
He just has not been that, you know? My thing, I think Santi is one of the players who's like, has hurt with not having Ja there. I mean, you think about who's good at catching lobs, right?
Right.
Like Zaire Williams in the past, right. Santi now, like Zach Edey to a degree. Like, those players lose something when Ja Morant's not on the floor. I think Santi's greatest skill is catching the lobs, you know? Santi is very skilled. He's got, to me, Santi Luke is somewhat similar in that they both have dribble pass shoot skills to different degrees. Kennard, much more of a shoot skill. But they both have sort of, they're both offensively skilled players, dribble pass shoot skills. They're both subpar defensive players, I would say.
Right.
The problem is the two don't balance each other out because the offense is inconsistent. And so if you have a player who's good offensively, bad defensively, but the offense comes and goes, versus a player who, let's say Marcus Smart, you know, who's good defensively and also inconsistent offensively, but he's always good defensively, like to me, Vince Williams is kind of like that.
Is Kennard as inconsistent offensively?
He'll have games, and I want to say, I think it was Golden State, he had a game where he was 0 for 5 from the right. floor and had zero assists. And if Luke Kennard has made zero shots and zero assists, right. what right. is he doing for you in 12 right. minutes on the floor?
Right.
You know, I mean, there is that. This is why I tend to favor defensive-oriented players. This is why in past discussions like this, I tended towards Kyle Anderson, I tended towards Melton, I tend towards Vince Williams. Those guys are going to get rebounds and deflections and D up like every night, you know?
And is Aldama actually a positive offensively, or is it only the promise of Aldama?
Well, I think like Kennard, he's inconsistent. I think he is great games.
Right.
He's a good passer,
yes.
you know? And again, I think he becomes more of a weapon when Ja's out there because he's good in transition. He's good at catching the lobs. But I think he's inconsistent. And I think, to me, the Aldama-Laravia question is interesting because you don't think of Laravia in the same way as like Marcus Smart and Vince Williams, like they bring it every night kind of thing. That's the way he's played this season.
Right.
I wonder about Santi when games tighten up and it's a grit grind kind of
right.
game. It's a scrappy, you know, I wonder if he's always there for it. I think Laravia's kind of always there for it in that stuff, you know?
Laravia also discounted as one of the guys who could start, although you at least wondered whether the contract played into that, the quantum decision
well, it played
that
into
they had
that. It played into that for me. Like I would take him more seriously as a candidate if they hadn't already declined the contract. Although even then, I still
Probably
behind
yeah.
the other
okay.
three guys.
So then the other three are obviously Smart, Vince, and Jalen Wells.
Yeah.
And what's, of course, interesting here is this goes back to the laboratory and what we've seen and what we haven't. You point out in the piece, we still haven't seen the really Marcus with Bane and Ja.
It's a very
still
yeah a year plus the sample size is very small. Ja only played 9 games last season,
right?
Period. So
yeah.
there's a cap on anything involving Ja. Then this season, like they've both been out and they've both missed games, and Bane's missed games, and so we just haven't we don't have enough of a sample there to look at either with your eyes or with the stats.
He has not been good offense really. Overall impact this year:
bad shooting, high turnovers. Right. I think the shooting has been. To some degree, that's who he is.
Right.
Now, who he is not 30% from the floor and 18% or whatever from three. I'm going to assume career numbers.
Right.
But the career numbers aren't great, right? I just think the nature of who he is he's going to miss shots and have turnovers. And he's also going to D up and create havoc defensively, and he's going to make plays. His feel for the game is going to create stuff. And the history of Marcus Smart is you add it all together, and at the end of the day, you look at it, it's a net positive. That has been the history of Marcus
right.
Smart.
But we just haven't.
But it's frustrating for people because it is not the game does not flow with him out there. It's more of a staccato rhythm.
And there also may be other iterations of Marcus Smart that have been more svelte than this one.
That seems to be the case. Yeah.
So then you get to Vince, and theoretically he seems like he should be the answer. But as you point out, he's got a lot of rust to knock off.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, you know, this is not something that Taylor Jenkins needs to make a decision tomorrow and stick with it for the next 60 games. And so we'll see. I do think, and to me, this was the case with Vince Williams last season. Maybe Jalen Wells is the new guy, new toy here, but he's playing Jalen Wells an awful lot. Okay. Jalen Wells has a very long leash. It seems like the coaches are really interested in having him on the floor. In a way, last season, they seemed really interested in having Vince Williams on the floor. Like, Vince Williams would all, just always be out there. Like, they wouldn't play guys heavy minutes except for Vince.
Right.
He'd be out there for 34 minutes or whatever. It feels like they have a lot of interest in playing Jalen Wells right now. But, you know, I think Vince can work his way into the mix if he starts playing like he did last season.
All right. The other thing I want to ask you about is over at over at ESPN, they have a panic meter for teams that should be panicking and teams that should not be panicking. Who do you think is number one on their panic meter?
It's got to be Philly.
Oh, actually, now I see the...
Philly might be done already, even in the East.
No, high panic. They do not have Philly. They have Philly on the edge. On the edge. Their playoff odds are still over 75%, according to ESPN.
I don't know.
But they fall in, probably because it's probably in the East, but they fall into the camp of teams who can't keep piling up the losses.
I mean, New Orleans, if you want to take them seriously, is number one.
The number one and number two were New Orleans and Milwaukee, were high panic.
Milwaukee had a good win last night against Houston.
Dame's back.
Milwaukee is, I think, a game out of like fifth or whatever in the East right now. I would have said something different 2 weeks ago, but I believe in Milwaukee to get it together. I don't believe in either team very much. I believe in Milwaukee together more than Philly at this point. They have a couple games on the standings, and like Giannis is playing basketball,
right.
And it's great.
Right.
Show me when like Joel Embiid and Paul George are going to both play basketball and play great. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I think that's fair. So they have New Orleans as one. Of course, their panic is like the Grizzlies' panic last year. They just were eviscerated.
Well, and right? I think their ceiling is lower anyway, even if they're healthy.
So then Milwaukee, then on the edge they have Philadelphia, and then they have Dallas and Minnesota, both a little disappointing, honestly.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Stars, those were two, like, Luka Doncic was my preseason pick for MVP when we did our pod. Anthony Edwards was Drew's preseason pick for MVP.
Right.
Neither of those picks are looking great right now. They're putting up good numbers, but they're not playing great basketball. They're not playing MVP level, I'm carrying my team, the way Nikola Jokic is.
Right.
Both those guys just seem a little out of whack. I think the teams around them, I mean, Minnesota obviously made this trade that they're sort of struggling to adjust to, but I think the problems are bigger than that. Mike Conley has not been very good.
Right.
And my sense is that it's not just an age thing. There's like an injury thing with him that may not resolve itself. I just don't know if he's going to have a very good season. Jaden McDaniels has not been very good. They gave him a big contract. Dallas, I tend to believe in Dallas to get it together a little bit more just because I think there's fewer question marks around that team. But Luka's got to be great. Luka has put up great numbers, but he has not been great.
Starting to worry, the Kings, Atlanta, and the Clippers, and then remaining calm, the Grizzlies and the Nuggets and the Pacers.
I mean, what are people's expectations for the Kings, the Hawks, and the Clippers? I think they've been fine. I mean, the Clippers have been better than I expected. The Hawks have been, I think the Hawks are fine in the East in the sense that I think they're going to be in the play-in at least. The Kings, I guess people had different, some people had different expectations.
They're already in the great
territory. I had the Kings as pretty firmly a play-in kind of team already. Right. You know, I did not consider that team to have the same kind of upside as the Grizzlies do, for instance.
So there you go. All right. Thank you, Chris. Good to have you back in town.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from The Daily Memphian. You can read his piece over at The Daily Memphian. I remind you, the NBA is, of course, back. And right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 free months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do, place a $5 bet on the NBA, and you get 3 months of League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. After 3-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel any time. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment with Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, we'll do that next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also, three-time winner of the Joe Loeb Award for excellence in business writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand.
I had a question for you. I didn't get an omelet delivered to my house this morning.
Okay.
by the folks at 92.9. I guess that was just an oversight.
Yeah.
I would love an omelet station in my house.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Right. Vicky.
Some members of my house have an omelet station. It's called Charles Fishman.
Right.
My question is, am I invited to the Christmas party as a member of the team?
It's funny. I have an RSVP to the Christmas party. I need to do that. It says I can bring a spouse, and I guess you qualify. You know, whatever.
both are actual spouses. would agree that right. On a bad day you can have it.
It's funny. I was at a church luncheon recently, and Steve, my friend Steve, asked me. He said, "Can I ask you a question? How do you know Charles Fishman?" And there was great curiosity about that. And then, of course, unmentioned, we haven't mentioned the email that we got in the wake of last week's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Which was from a woman who said,
"Oh my God! Oh my God! Wait a minute! No! We got to read it. We got to see if we can find it fast and read the whole thing because this is literally the best.
This is a disaster. This email was an absolute disaster, and I blocked her. I have subsequently blocked her.
You blocked her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are
you laying your hands on it?
No, that's the one about the library.
Yeah, never mind. We'll see if we can dredge it up. Here's what it said. It said, "Would you please, please, please?"
I've got
it.
I've got the actual text. Here it is. "I've listened to this. Can I say the woman who it's
sure.
from?
Or yeah, yeah, go ahead. I don't think she'd mind.
Betsy Wiseman.
Yep. Thanks, Betsy.
Sent exactly last Tuesday. Oh, God, my phone is so weird.
This is what happened.
Here it is. "I've listened to your show for years."
Thanks, Betsy.
"I'm still so sad that you and GP don't get to chat every day."
Yeah, me too.
"That was always the best. I agree. Can you please, 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 the three pleases, stop interrupting Fishman constantly? He is so interesting and has relevant topics to discuss, and you just talk over him the whole time. We get to listen to you for the other 90 minutes. Can you please just give Fishman a chance?"
I'd like to...
A chance.
That was intentional interrupting there. I did that for the benefit of... Right then, I just interrupted for the benefit of Betsy, just to prove her point. I tried to explain to her, first of all, I'm grateful she listens, that one of the challenges here is, because we talk off the air 8 times a day, that we just talk off the air the same way we talk on the air. And so
we
it's
talk
hard
on the air the same way
yeah,
we
right,
talk
exactly.
off the air. In fact,
and so it's
right.
hard to sort of break from that pattern. Secondly, if I didn't interrupt, it would just be one damn long soliloquy from the beginning to end.
No, in fact, without remembering Betsy's note, I sent you a note this morning that says, let's try you asking some questions and me pausing to give you a chance to ask the questions instead of just breathlessly squeezing in as much as I can on every topic.
Right. There you go. So anyway, we appreciate all that. We appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the feedback, and I'll do my best to rein myself in.
Shut up. Let the genius shine, okay?
Who's interrupting who? We have Walmart earnings. This is like your Christmas, for God's sakes. What was the news today from Walmart?
Well, the news from Walmart is extraordinary. I sent you some suggested questions, which you're clearly not using, but why do we care about Walmart earnings more than anybody else? Walmart, first of all, is the largest company in human history of any kind, not just the largest store in America, largest company
of any kind.
Largest
measured by what?
Human history.
Not by market cap.
As measured by sales. Who cares about market cap? That's just a measure of what the stock market thinks. Walmart sells more stuff. Walmart brings in more revenue than any company every year and has for almost 20 years. Larger than ExxonMobil, larger than Google, larger than Apple, larger than Amazon. The second reason we care is that it's not a specialty company. It's not an IT company or a defense contractor. Walmart services the real American economy. Real people shop at Walmart. It's a great measure of the move of Americans, because when anything negative happens to American finances, Walmart feels it first. Half the adults in America shop at Walmart every week. 90% of Americans live within 15 minutes of a Walmart. So that's why. What happened last 3 months? Walmart didn't just grow. Walmart grew 5.5%, twice the speed of the American economy. A retailer growing at twice the speed that the overall economy is growing at. That's kind of amazing.
Does it, and I hear I'm interrupting. Sorry, Betsy.
No, you're okay.
Is that a reflection, though? I wonder with Walmart, because it's everyday low prices or whatever it is. Is its growth in some ways a reflection of some of the hardships that people are feeling in the American economy? Or I guess
I think hardship is a strong term. But what Walmart has said for the last year, and they said it again today, I listened. So companies release their actual numbers in great detail, then they talk for an hour about those numbers. That's what an earnings call is. I don't get to ask any questions as a reporter. I get to listen to the investment professionals ask questions. So what Walmart said today is they're not only gaining market share from Aldi and Giant and Target and, you know, Trader Joe's. Most of the market share they're gaining, 75% of the new business, comes from people with incomes of $100,000 or more. So people are looking to Walmart for better prices. But here's the interesting thing. Their digital business, their e-commerce business, is surging 29%. 18% of all Walmart sales, 18% of all Walmart sales in the last quarter are online sales. That's $30 billion alone. That's bigger than all of Target's sales. So Walmart has struggled for 20 years to figure out how to compete with Amazon. And now they're doing it.
Does the fact that they're doing well, does it just matter to their shareholders, or does it matter in the broader universe?
No, I think it's really a sign of the health of the consumer. Here's two little tidbits. The number of people shopping at Walmart, the number of quote-unquote trips to their stores, increased 3%. In the last 3 months, the size of the ticket, the average amount spent, increased 2%. So more people are going and they're spending more money. Let's see if there's anything else, any other little tidbits.
Do you know what they're spending money on?
Well, they're always spending money on food. 60% of the money spent at Walmart is on food. But Walmart said that, quote-unquote, general merchandise, that's the whole rest of the store, sporting goods,
yeah,
health and beauty, prescriptions, lots of sales of weight loss drugs, Ozempic, that kind of stuff, increased their total sales significantly. So they're watching the Ozempic. And they mentioned toys. They mentioned toys a lot. Toys are up.
Toys are up. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, there's a couple interesting things that tap into trends elsewhere. Their advertising revenue is up 28%. You and I live in a world newspapers used to live on advertising.
Right.
Advertising has migrated to places like Amazon and Walmart.
Walmart makes money from advertising. I was wondering, I would think Walmart would spend money on advertising.
If you search hand cream or you search running shoes, you see a selection of items on the Walmart website. Some of those are positioned based on advertising dollars from the retailers. They're marked as advertisements. So Walmart will take advertising dollars from Nike or General Mills or Procter & Gamble and then make money selling the items that they made money advertising. It's just insane. And that's pure profit. It doesn't cost them anything to offer advertising on the website. The other thing they announced, they said they're very reluctant to talk about AI because they think in 2 years what they said today will seem horribly, you know, horse and buggy old-fashioned. Yeah. But they put an AI assistant called My Assistant on the computer of every headquarters employee in Bentonville. And they are watching what people use it for and doing things like adjusting the accessibility of HR benefits because people ask questions that indicate that they don't know how to use their health insurance or they don't know how to get their employee discount card. So that's interesting. That is interesting.
They have a new store? They have a new store in Texas? Yes. What's this news? What are they doing?
I think one of the most interesting things is this new store they just opened 3 weeks ago in Grapevine, Texas. So I think the most painful part of shopping in person these days is checking out. And at Walmart, that's always been the number two complaint. The number one complaint of shoppers at Walmart is it takes too long to get from the parking lot to the store. The number two complaint is it takes too long to give you my money. I have to stand in line. And this new Grapevine Sam's Club has no checkout lines. You load the Sam's Club app on your phone, which you probably have anyway if you're a Sam's Club member. And as you put an item in your cart, you scan it with your phone. You use the photo app to scan it. It keeps a running total of what's in your quote-unquote cart. And then when you're ready to check out, you simply slide across the app and your preloaded credit card or debit card is charged for the item and a QR code.
It's going to be the way of the world. Isn't that going to be the way of the world?
I think it's going to be just like travel agents and printing your own boarding pass. I would much rather do that than stand in line anywhere.
Well, but a lot of places self checkout. You're doing it yourself anyway. You might as well do it yourself as you shop.
As you shop, much easier.
Standing in line to do it. Yeah.
And as you leave, Walmart and Sam's sort of make a pretense of checking your receipt against your basket.
Right.
Now there's automatic checkers that kind of glance at your basket and decide whether you have paid.
A texter, by the way, is telling me they've had it at Sam's for more than a year. They have it at our Sam's right here in Memphis. How about that?
No, they have. You can do that. You can do it at Sam's. Grapevine is the first store of any kind of Walmart's 11,000 stores where you can't check out normally. You must check out digitally.
So
there are no checkout lots. There are no cash registers. The only way to do it is this way.
All right, we got other news we got to get to. I'm interrupting because we got to get other news. We got to tell people the health stuff. There's a new E. coli contamination that we need to tell the people about.
I have the product. I have the product right here. You can hear me rattling this. It's glowing orange with E. coli.
What is it?
Carrots, organic carrots from Grimway Farms were recalled for E. coli contamination. It's the third E. coli contamination in like a month.
What are you going to do? Are you going to eat them? Are you going to play Russian roulette with your carrots?
I was surprised to find them. There's 15 brands of carrots produced by this huge facility in California.
Would you just wash them? What if you just wash them?
I've been in the building where they process these carrots. No, you specifically are not likely to be able to wash off
really?
E. coli. E. coli doesn't really wash off very well. I have one, two, three, I have five big carrots. I mean, they say to throw them away. One person has died from contaminated carrots.
That's not worth it.
I guess my question would, the question I think is interesting is, how does E. coli get on organic carrots, right?
I wouldn't begin to know. Wouldn't begin to know. We have three topics remaining on this list that you sent me. We don't have enough minutes left to get to all of them. So what would you like to talk about?
Mystery before we move on.
You know the answer. That was a rhetorical question.
Do I ever ask questions I don't know the answer to?
All right, go ahead.
E. coli gets on there from contaminated water, typically from livestock poop. You know what I mean? All these farms are near each other. The water slides downstream.
That's lovely.
It's got, cow manure in it.
Good news is, we don't have pesticides on here. Bad news is cow poop on your carrots.
Check your carrots against the FDA website. There's 15 brands of carrots listed because Grimway Farms makes them for Whole Foods and Walmart and Wegmans and Trader Joe's. Okay. You don't want to have your carrot kill you. Skip Martha Stewart. I don't think Martha Stewart's that interesting.
Okay, let's go unbanked.
96% of households in the U.S. now have a bank account, which is up dramatically and historically. It's hard to do business in America. Walmart says that's the lowest it's been. I'm sorry, that's the highest it's been. Only 4% of Americans don't have a bank account. It used to be twice that. It used to be 8% of Americans didn't have a bank account. Hard to do business in America without a bank account. Walmart says that 20% of its customers don't have a bank account, which tells you something about
Walmart.
Which population. The same Federal Reserve survey, we love the Federal Reserve here.
Of course.
Says that.
Who doesn't?
4.8% of Americans own crypto. You hear a lot about crypto, but 95% of Americans don't own
crypto.
Okay,
and then finally, Ukraine is firing missiles. This was a little odd because Biden has given Ukraine permission to fire these big-ass missiles deep into Russian territory. It feels a little too late, a little like this is as Biden's on the way out. He's saying, okay, fine, till Donald gets here, you can go ahead and fire these missiles. What's happening?
Well, this is big news. We've been supplying. This is the 1,000th day of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Ukraine has fought off Russia for 1,000 days, and I think it was Sunday that Biden gave the Ukrainian military permission to use U.S. weapons to fire directly into Russian-held territory. It's the weapon the missile launcher only has about 180 mile range, and Ukraine has agreed only to hit military targets. But Biden has been careful to not cross red lines that Putin has established, which is if American weapons attack Russia directly, we'll go attack Americans. But the trigger in this case was twofold. One is, Russia is deploying North Korean troops directly into battle. Russia has run out of its own troops and people being drafted. It doesn't have enough young men anymore. So it's got 10,000 troops from North Korea who are going to fight. And also, Biden thinks Trump's going to try and settle the war on poor terms for Ukraine. So he wants
Let's give them a little boost before they go into settlement talks.
To get them the best negotiating position possible before Trump tried.
It is amazing. 1,000 days, by the way. I guess I assumed way back when, it's hard to remember, that Russia would just roll, right? That's what I think the assumption was, that Russia would just roll over Ukraine.
We don't talk about it much, but one of the most astonishing accomplishments is a coalition of 30 nations supporting Ukraine and Ukraine beating back the invasion of a much larger, much better equipped country.
People are bored
holding their own.
People are bored by it and move on. Charles, thank you very much. Hopefully Betsy Wiseman thought I did better today. You can follow Fishman on Twitter
at carrots, just not E. coli.
C. Fishman on Twitter or X. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson, Jason Fitz, join them today. Tim Murray will be my guest on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow for Now Work's Done.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.